Good evening, everyone. My name is Andrea, and I'm an alcoholic. And I believe in being comfortable no matter where I am. And I'm home here. I'm really nervous. My heart's pitter-patter. I don't know if it's a monster or the nervousness. If you're new to Alcoholics Anonymous and you didn't get up and get a chip, I'd like to welcome you. In the beginning, it was hard for me to get up and identify. It was hard for me to get up and get that chip. It was hard for me to get up and get that hug. Those things are real important. Boy, what it was like. You know, I was thinking today, I was trying to stay positive in the solution, and it was hard today. I had a struggle with that. I was thinking today about what it was like before I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I was trying to think of, you know, when I first started drinking, first drink, and the last drink, you know, and, you know, the first was growing up when I was a kid and I had a toothache. It was black velvet, and my mom would let me swish it around in my mouth and put it to my tooth, of course, where I had the toothache, you know, and I couldn't swallow it or anything, you know. And I had a few toothaches, you know, and that was my introduction. You know, I came from a, I'll call it a dysfunctional family because that's what it was. You know, I say was past tense because today, through the tools of Alcoholics Anonymous, my family is no longer dysfunctional. You know, my mother and my father did the best they could do with what they had. You know, they did the best they could do with the tools that they had. You know, and that's not why I'm an alcoholic, you know. You know, I have other issues that I won't go into detail with. But I will let you know, because it is a part of my story, that I had to go through another 12-step program to get into the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous, because when I first got sober, I was not an alcoholic. You know, an alcoholic in my mind was my grandfather passing out in the chair, puking all over himself. You know, that's what an alcoholic was in my mind, you know. And, you know, my sponsor told me more shall be revealed. You know, just keep coming back, you know. You know, I'm definitely an alcoholic. You know, it was the first and it was the last. You know, I heard that at my home group. It was the first and it was the last. And I was like, wow, she's talking about me. You know, I was in a meeting last night and I heard this lady talking and I was like, wow, she's talking about me. It's amazing how that still happens, the similarities. Let me see. December 12, 1995 was when I began my journey, my recovery journey and a recovery process, you know, and I'm still work in progress. You know, I've got a lot of work to do. You know, I got a sponsor early on, and she let me off the hook. I was going to ask her to be my sponsor, and, you know, she spit it out. You know, when I got here, I had a hard time communicating with other people because my instincts were that of an animal because I isolated for so long. And I hated you, but it was because I hated me, if that makes any sense. I don't know if that does or not, but, you know, it took a while for me to come out of my shell. And, you know, I remember working with my sponsor, and, you know, I did whatever she told me to do because, you know, I was so fearful. You know, I was so fearful. I didn't want to return back to the way that I was living. You know, I went to the Alano Club early in my sobriety, and I was called in the Alano Club lot because it was a safe place for me to go. You know, when I was there in the morning, I was there in the evening. You know, I've branched out since then to different areas. But, you know, the Alano Club saved my life because it was a safe place for me to go, and I needed that at the time. And I'm, like, still nervous, but I'll get over it. Okay. Let me see. I've recently, you know, for about 5 years, I kind of isolated and I didn't do shit other than not pick up the drink. You know, I prayed here and there, but I ran on self-will. And my husband's in recovery, and I don't know how the hell he put up with me. You know, I don't know how. I was a roaring, raving maniac, you know. And I didn't realize it, because when you're nuts, you don't know it. And how I know now is because I'm getting into action again. You know, after my, I say abstinence, working with a sponsor. You know, I had about 5 years ago, 8 years ago, my youngest daughter was born. That's another story. I didn't give birth to her. However, she's my daughter, and I've adopted her. And she's never seen me drink. Never. You know? And but for the grace of God, she never will. You know? And if I keep doing what I'm doing, I'm going to keep getting what I'm getting. And things are okay today. See, I just lost my train of thought. Danny said if I don't talk for the whole hour, they're going to ask me questions. I'm looking, it's only 20 minutes after. Danny being my husband. Okay. See, I lost my train of thought. That's awful. Anyway, oh, it's about my sponsor. My first sponsor, and then I got my second sponsor. My second sponsor really didn't make me do much other than, you know, tell me, you know, to pray for people when I go to her with something. She helped me, you know, because I had a sponsor, but I didn't utilize her. So then I hooked up with my first sponsor again, and, well, I asked her to sponsor me, and then she told me no temporarily, and, you know, my pride wouldn't let me say, okay, you can just sponsor me temporarily, so I cried. You know, I cried, and I sulked, and then I got the nerve up to ask her again, you know, and she said yes temporarily. And then it wound up being a long-term thing, and... You know, things happen. People get busy and we shift in different directions. You know, and I found it necessary to get another sponsor, you know, and I'm beginning the relationship with another sponsor. My my old sponsor told me that I had to go to this women's meeting on Tuesday nights. I don't like women. I'm gonna tell you the truth. I don't like women. I mean, that's just the way it is. I'm learning that they are what I need. You know, to maintain my healthiness, you know, to be okay with me. You know, I need to be embraced with other women. I'm learning that. I'm a work in progress. Work in progress. And, you know, I've got women here today and that I usually don't see here. You know, there's one, two, three. I'm like, wow. You know, and that's a blessing for me from Alcoholics Anonymous, you know. I'm trying not to get all cheered up and mushy, you know what I mean? But I'm going to do it anyway. Catherine, do you have a tissue? You're out. You know, when I got here, and I say here into the program, you know, I was mad, you know, and it was because, you know, like I said, I thought I hated me. Thank you. Oh, that's right. You always carry the little ones. You know, my sponsor told me I had to go, my old sponsor told me I had to go to this women's group, you know, and she told me all this other stuff I had to do, and I was doing the deal, and then I backslid, and I wasn't doing the deal, and, you know, I've been sober 13 years, but I still need to be told what to do, you know. Not that I like it, but I need it, you know, not by my husband, by my sponsor. There's a difference. There's a difference. You know, you know, I still need it. And my old sponsor told me I had to go to this meeting, and I was going, and then I quit going, and then I told her, you know, I quit going, I got comfortable, complacent, and, you know, she told me I had to go back. It was a must do, you know, and, you know, so I started going back, and that meeting is still a must do, you know, and I'm grateful that it was a must do because I was able to meet my sponsor at that, you know. You know, so it's all a God shot. I call them God shots because, you know, that's what they are. You know, God's in my life today, and He always was in my life. However, I didn't have the door open to Him. You know, I didn't have a connection with God, and I can say that I have that connection today. You know, instead of saying shit, I'm trying to say Thy will be done. Excuse me if the SH word offended anybody. But, hey, that's pretty clean. I know that's something I've been working on is, you know, bringing God into my day instead of my own will. Because I will drive my day over the cliff, you know. And if I can just bring God into it on a regular basis, you know, I have a habit of saying shit all day. And instead of saying shit, I've been trying to say Thy will be done. And, boy, my day goes so much better when I invite God in on a regular basis. You know what I mean? It's so amazing. You know, I went to this... retreat, you know, I really, like I said, I really don't like women. You know, and it's you know, I'll work through it. I'm probably going to say more than I should tonight, and I'll probably have more work to do. But that's okay. I'm willing to do the work. If you tell me to do it, I got to do it. But a couple months back, I went to a retreat that Sister B put on up in Oakhurst, and it was a woman's retreat, and it was on step 10. And I saw this pamphlet at my home group, and for some reason, I just knew I needed to go to this retreat. You know, I just knew I needed to go. Don't ask me, you know, I guess maybe, well, no, maybe it was God, you know. Not that he came down and shook a bush at me or hit me with a stick, but I just knew I needed to go. And it was a woman's deal. I don't do the woman's deal. What's so funny, Billy? What's so funny? Would you care to share with the rest of us? Oh, burn the bush. Shake a stick, burn the bush. Okay. Is that what you're laughing at? Okay, anyway. Some women from my home group are going up to this meeting, you know, and they're doing the carpool thing and all that. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to carpool with you guys. I'm going to go, but I'm not going to carpool, you know. And I went and I got there super, super early. And I pulled up to the church and I was like, okay, you know, I don't need to stay. You know what I mean? I don't need to stay. Nobody's here. They won't know. I wound up going inside, and I sat down next to two women, and I told them the truth about what was going on. I had fight or flight going on, you know, and she said, well, I won't let you get up and leave. Thanks. Thanks. Well, unbeknownst to me, it was a... It was 12-step recovery. I thought it was all a bunch of alcoholics, but it was, everybody was there. You know, everybody was there. And I got to spend my day, part of my day, listening to some people in another 12-step program, and it showed me the damage that I've created to some people that I loved in my life. You know, that was another God shot. But the God shot of that whole day, other than being with a bunch of women all day, was that there was a 77-year-old lady that was talking, and just amazing. It was a blessing. It was a blessing. It was a big old God shot, and it was like God was talking to me saying, can you hear me, Andrea Galindo? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? You know the commercial, can you hear me now with the phone? It was like a direct line to God, you know, and for like a couple weeks, closer to a month, I was just on fire, you know, and today I was thinking, you know, where'd that go? You know, where'd that go? You know, and I know what happened, you know. I quit doing all that stuff that Sister B suggested that I do. Because that's what I do. That's what I do. But, okay, I'm not so nervous anymore. You know, the literature, you know, read the book, work steps, get a sponsor, go to a lot of meetings. You know, there's parts of the book, I'm not a book thumper, but there's parts of it that really stuck out at me, and I'm glad they did. Resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else, and I'm so glad that stuck out to me because I've been able to watch it, you know, and I've been able to see resentments take people out over and over and over. And I'm not saying I don't get resentful because let me tell you right now. And Mr. Galindo, would you like to share what's so funny? You know, I know some old timers that clung on to me, you know, and told me to read, you know, Dr. Bob and the Good Old Timers, as Bill sees it, you know, so I could learn about the nuts and bolts of this program. You know, I was told to do H&I, and I did H&I, and I don't even remember going with Annette. She said I went out to the jail with her. You know, I don't remember that. You know, I basically did what I was told. You know, but it worked because I'm still sober. You know, and I remember going out to the jail. You know, I remember one of my partners I had, she relapsed. And after she relapsed, I quit going. You know, and that was too bad for me. You know, because it was healthy for me. It was helping me grow. And, you know, I'm not sponsoring anybody. Wow. I was reading my big book today, and it's like working with others. Wow, that's how I'm going to get to keep this. I'm like, oh, telling on myself again. you know, I'm not, but all of my friends are in recovery today. You know, and I can be a friend today. I'm looking at the time going, oh, man. Mr. Glendo, you're a lot more winded than I am. You know, I was looking at a big book at home this evening, and it was an old book of Johnny Mack's. And if any of you here never had the blessing to know Johnny Mack, you know, then that's too bad for you. He was a big part of my early recovery. And you ever just have somebody just give you a hug, and you just know everything's going to be all right, no matter what, you know, no matter what, and the welcome. And you know, I remember when he passed away, he was a part of my family. He was at my house for Thanksgiving, and you know, that was a real emotional, that was the first loss that I can recall sober, you know, because, you know, behind alcohol, you know, I think I can do anything, you know. Today I know better, you know. I just recently had February, I'm patting my leg because I had a drunk driving accident in the state of Maine back in 19... When did I meet you? 22 years ago? 22 years ago, anyway. So I was in this car accident, drunk driving, I fractured my femur, lost all my teeth, almost lost my eye, and, that didn't stop me. You know, I wound up in the state of California, never finished up my stuff in the state of Maine, and, you know, I still had this hardware in my leg that I was supposed to have removed, but, you know, when you're busy doing stuff and drinking, you really don't have time to take care of yourself. So anyway, about a year ago, I actually went in and had it taken care of, and how many years ago? I went back to Maine to take care of my drunk driving, you know, in the state of Maine. Maine, California, I went to renew my license, to get my license, and, you know, they wouldn't give me one because of this stuff in Maine, and I'm like, wow, I didn't know they were interconnected. Today I'm 42 years old and I have a driver's license. You know, that might not sound like a big deal, but you know, I drove around for years with a permit, you know, and I rode the bus. You know, I didn't think it was necessary to have a driver's license. You know, and I never thought I was going to go to jail until my husband said, "You get in an accident, you're going to jail." And the next day I got in an accident and I'm like, "Oh my God, I'm going to jail." You know, before I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, my husband was my God. Thank God for Alcoholics Anonymous. And I didn't mean that to sound negative or anything, but... You know, before I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I didn't have an identity, and I lived my identity through my husband. That's how I live. You know, it was all about... It was awful. I mean, I didn't realize it then, but wow. Who am I? Let me ask Danny. Danny, who am I? You know, it was like that. And I didn't realize it because I was in the midst of it. But, I'm looking at the clock going, I can't help it. I guess I'm still nervous. I'm sweating. Jenny, you want to share? Okay, where was I? My hardware. Yeah, I'm all over the place. I'm just nervous as a jaybird. You think I was... First thought, wrong thought. I was going to... Never mind. See, and I'm learning that too today. You know, I'm learning. My first thought is my wrong thought at times, and I don't have to spit out what's on my mind, you know, because sometimes when I spit something out, I hurt you, or I hurt you, or I hurt you. And my intention is not to hurt you, but if I hurt you, I still owe you an amends. And you know what? I don't want to go around making amends all the time. Let me tell you. You know, let me tell you. Today I know to do them quicker. You know, I looked at my boss the other day with one of those looks on my face, and I realized by her reaction that I shouldn't have done that. You know what I mean? That it was like, you know, so I made it right away. And that's the difference. You know, back in the day, it was all about you wronged me. You did me wrong. I wasn't willing to own responsibility for my own actions. You know, and today I am willing to be accountable for my own actions. You know, my first sponsor told me, you can do whatever you want. And I'm like, yeah, as long as you're willing to pay the consequences. You know, and sometimes...
I have a question. I'm Gary. I'm from Boston, and I don't see what you're going through. I'm being in front of a group and being tongue-tied. And somebody told me one time, maybe you don't have the power to hurt other people the way you think you do. Maybe you can just say whatever you want to say, and it's really not going to hurt anybody. You know?
I'm like, huh? Oh, I am free. What I was going to say, what might have offended somebody, so I opted not to say it. You know what I mean? It wasn't hurt, it was offend. And there's a difference today. You know? There's a difference.
You're really alive. You're sweet. You're wonderful. Just be yourself.
I'm working on it. I'm working on it.
Come on. Give it to me.
Okay, what it's like today. Today, what it's like today is... Am I doing... Okay, damn it. What it's like today is... Billy, you want to finish up for me, bro? Come on, bro. I love you, bro. Come on, bro. What it's like for me today is, when I first got into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, I didn't have an education. I didn't have a GED. I didn't have a driver's license. There's an old-timer by the name of John... who dropped me off in front of COS to start my recovery process from the Alano Club, and I'll never forget that day. I got out of the truck, you know, and he goes, okay, Andy, here you go. I was like, whoa, you know, and that's when I started my process of obtaining an education and becoming employable, because today I'm employable. When I got into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, I wasn't employable. I wasn't trustworthy. I didn't know how to be a friend. I was mean and ugly, and I was nasty and full of nastiness, because that's just what my life had become. You know, and I can say today that I'm grateful for those old-timers. I don't know why those old-timers grabbed a hold of me. I don't know why. I have no idea. At the time, I was trying to figure out what the hell these guys want from me. You know what I mean? Why are they buying me dinner after the meeting? We used to go to meetings after the meetings, and these people would be buying my coffee, buying our dinner after the meetings, and I'm like, what the hell do they want from me? Like I had anything to give them, you know, and I've been sober long enough now to see that all they wanted from me was to stay sober. And I've been able to see that blessing happen. I've been able to see people walk into the room and their lights turn on. And there's nothing more electrifying than seeing that happen with an individual. And I remember people welcoming me and saying, you're on fire. And I didn't know what the hell that meant, but I'm like, yeah, okay, and you're right where you're supposed to be. All these cliches we hear. You're right where you're supposed to be. And I'm like, you know what? I'll just agree with you. You know, I'll just agree with you. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm right where I'm supposed to be, you know. My first sponsor told me to journal, and I was digging out my journals from 13 years ago. When I was 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, and I'm like, wow, what a difference. What a difference my thought process has become. You know, I can actually put a full sentence onto the paper, you know. Part of my educational process, I took an English class and I used to have to free write. And you were in my free writing, Jenny. You picked me up and took me to the Farmersville meeting. I think it was Tuesday night, Farmersville meeting. And I'm like, that was a very different meeting. I remember reading my journaling. You know, I think that was important for me at the time because I had so much stuff going on in my head. Putting it out on paper took the power out of it. You know, that's something that I don't do now unless I'm in pain. If I'm hurting, I'll get out the pen, you know. And I got to be hurting, you know, because I know there's a solution. You know, today I'm also working on minding my own business. You know what I mean? Minding my own business, stepping back and just... You know, minding my own effing business, you know, because, you know, I just want to come in and take charge. And I had it pointed out to me recently that, you know, that's part of my controlling issues, you know what I mean? How I have my house clean and I want everything in this spot and this spot and everything just like this, and take your shoes off when you come in the house and all of that neatness and that tidiness, that's part of my control issues. I didn't know that. I'm learning all this as I go along. You know, hopefully I never quit learning. You know, and hopefully I never quit reaching out. You know, I have a hard time at times. You know, I just said I got a new sponsor, and you know, when I go through shit, I like to work through it and then call my sponsor and say, hey, look what I did. So she'll go, good job, pat me on the back. You know, and that's been my MO for a while, but I've let it out now and it's on the table. You know, so, you know, shit, I'm really telling on myself tonight. I'm so telling on myself tonight. You know, which is good, I guess. You know, it's a good thing, bad thing. You know, it's a good thing. You know, my children were 12 and 13. Hell, they're 26 and 24 now. So you do the math, okay? I think they were 12 and 13 when I first got sober, and they had all these years to do whatever they wanted to do, and then all of a sudden, you know, mom's paying attention, and she knows what's going on around her, and you know, that sometimes, you know, is difficult. You know, I firmly believe that my alcoholism affected my mother, my father, my children, my mate, my landlord, my neighbor, let me see, who else, you know, anybody that I came in contact with, you know. And like I said, I didn't come from a real functional family. You know, my mother never told me, I love you growing up. It wasn't something that came out of her mouth. You know, I love you, Andrea, you know. Or my dad, he used to say, love you, Andrew, you know, once in a while. But, you know, my mother never said that. You know, and I never knew the importance of not hearing that until I got sober. You know, I never knew that. You know, I didn't know. It's kind of like you can't hear till you can hear, you know. Now I talk to my mother a couple of times a week, and she tells me that she loves me. You know, it's not something that she doesn't say today, and I believe it's because it was introduced to her from me. You know, Mom, I love you. Yeah, every time I talk to her, the conversation ends with, I love you, you know. And basically, bottom line, all my life, I guess that's all I ever really wanted was to be loved, you know. And, you know, when I was drinking, I was loved, you know, or so I thought, you know. And you know, I drank behind all kinds of other stuff that, you know, that's for my sponsor to hear about, you know, not spitting it out in an open meeting, you know. And there's a reason why my home group is a women's meeting. You know, I have a real rough and gruff exterior, you know what I mean? But deep down inside, I'm just a pussycat. I'm just a little teddy bear, you know what I mean? The bottom line is, I just want to be liked and I want to be loved. I'd like to say, F you, and I don't care what you think, but that would be a lie. You know what I mean? That would be a lie. And today, you know, that's just not, it's not easy for me to do, you know? But I am learning that some shit's none of your business, like I said, if it's going to harm you, you know, if it's going to harm you, you know, I became grandma this weekend, you know, again, you know, and this is how God has come full circle in my life. And prior to Alcoholics Anonymous, like I said, I didn't have that connection with God. You know, my 8-year-old that I talked about earlier was her first child, my daughter Sharon, that gave birth this weekend. And there was a court battle, and it wasn't pretty, you know, and I got guardianship of my daughter, and then we wound up adopting my daughter. And that was Sharon's first daughter that she ever had. She just turned 8. Because of God and his wonderful powers that be, see, I got to crack a joke because I'm having a feeling. Time to shut down, having a feeling. You know? Felt a tear coming on. Anyway, you know, my daughter Sharon's been reintroduced to my life. She wasn't in my life or my daughter Danny's life because she wasn't healthy, you know? And, you know, it started off a couple years ago. I'd go drive by her house and see her and visit her, and, you know, I'd want to fix her and make it all right, but I couldn't, you know? Anyway, she's gotten healthy, you know, and she's healthy, and she's been reintroduced to Danny's life. And, you know, and it's no secret. My daughter Danny knows that Sharon gave birth to her. She just wasn't ready to be a mom because, you know, I don't want to keep secrets today, You know, I lived with secrets all my growing up. I would keep secrets. I would lie, manipulate, you know, and I don't want to do that today, you know, because I have fear that's going to take me back to where I came from. Anyway, this baby granddaughter that came into my life this last weekend, so I'm having another emotion, but that's okay. I'm just going to feel my way through it. She named a daughter after me, you know, and that's like, wow, that's a God shot. That's a real God shot. You know, my daughter's been able to see the whole transformation take place, you know. She was there for a good part of my, I'm having another feeling. Minutes. Woo-hoo! I'm so happy I can dance. I hope some of this is making sense, and if it's not, well, that's all right. My hands are still sweaty, you know. And my heart's still palpating, you know. If you're new, you know, welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous. Keep coming back and create the fellowship that you crave. I'm like, wow. You know, I'm thinking of the cliches, you know, and I was thinking about them today, and I was thinking about the promises, you know, and there's a lot of promises hidden in that big book. A lot more than what's posted on the wall. There's a lot, you know, in the third step. There's a lot in the third step. Okay, I'm done, man. I'm like, I'm done. I'm toasted. I'm like, you know, I'm trying to do this. Oh, you know what? I got 5 more minutes. Okay, cool. There's something else that I've learned to do in my recovery process other than just go to meetings, working with my sponsor. Oh, I'm like, whoa. You know, during the summertime, my husband rides a motorcycle and we go to campouts. Go to sober campouts with a bunch of crazy people. I call them WFO. W-Y-F. I don't want to offend anybody. It's a bad word. O, use your imagination. WFO. There's a lot of laughter. There's a lot of fellowship. You know, that's something that I haven't done this year, and I just realized that. Wow, I haven't. Like, am I trying to punish myself or what? You know what I mean? I haven't gone to one. And that was a big part. That was a big part of my recovery process the past couple of years. I'm done. I'm toast. I can't talk anymore. 45 minutes is just... I'm trying to stretch it. But, you know, get a sponsor. Read the book. Go to a lot of meetings. You know, help others. You know, like I said, I'm not sponsoring anybody, but I do help others. You know, because I don't know who God's put in my path. I don't know if that person that I'm letting pull out in front of me is somebody sent to me from God. You know, I don't know if the family member at work that's chewing my ass out and I don't tell them to go screw themselves, I don't know if that person is sent to me from God. I don't know that. You got something to say, Danny? Maybe you should have left. He goes, do you want me to leave? He goes, do you want me to leave? Yeah, I'm done. I'm done. Thank you. No questions. Am I off?
No. We do have a few minutes left for questions.
That's what I was trying to stretch it.
If you have a question, just please raise your hand and I'll let Andrea call on you.
My name is Larry, I'm an alcoholic. And I don't have a question, but Andrea and then you guys both. It's been a big part of my recovery. And I just want to thank you for being here. Thank you so much for the program.
Thank you.
Hey, Jimmy. Is it important? Are you
sure your sponsor has a sponsor? Is that important?
Yeah.
Is it important to wipe your ass when you take a dump? I covered up all my tattoos. I tried to look respectable tonight. Did it work? Was there anything else you wanted to ask, Jimmy? Sure. See, that's good. Now nobody else wants to ask a question. Mission accomplished.
Why?
Oh.
So why is it important that a sponsor has a sponsor?
Why is it important that your sponsor has a sponsor? Well, ism. I sponsor myself doesn't work. In 13 years, I've seen it rolling around. I did it for about 5 years. It doesn't work. You know, it's important that you have somebody that's actually doing the work that they're telling you to do. And it's important they have a person to go to for direction. Because, you know, like I said, you know, God is real. But we need to make sure that our sponsor has a sponsor and is getting guidance somewhere. Otherwise, they're going to be nuts. I'm not going to go into an explicit detail about nuts. However, anybody that's been here a few years, they know what nuts is and what it looks like. Okay, we're done. Are we done? I'm like, are we done? No, nobody else wants to ask a question. Yeah.
It's not a question, but my wife and I, we've been in the program. We've been married 2 years now.
Oh, AA boy means AA girl.
I get kind of angry. She runs her own program. You've been married well.
Yeah, we didn't meet in the program. We knew each other out there. We knew each other here. But you have a sponsor. She has a sponsor. You know, I'm not like a relationship expert. I'm not an expert on anything. It's real important. Early in recovery, I tried to work my program and my husband's program, and it was really hard because I was a really busy girl. Really busy. I was busy. I did a really good job because, look, he's still here. I used to throw his boots under the bed so he'd get down on his knees so he'd pray. I used to read him the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous, till he'd fall asleep. Yeah, yeah. I used to do all that. Did I answer your question? I mean,
yeah.
What about two guys, you and your male friends? You know what I mean? Do you work your program and they work their program, or do you guys find conflict trying to mesh it together? Oh, that's good. I don't like to go to the same meetings my husband's at either. I mean, he can't go to my home group as he comes a drag. Okay. Look at that. 8 minutes. Hopefully, if anything, I've helped spread the message of Alcoholics Anonymous, and, you know, the message is that of hope, you know, and you don't have to take that drink, and you can reach out and help others and be of service. I'm not saying everything's perfect, great, and wonderful, but it's a hell of a lot better than it was before I put the plug in the jug, you know, a hell of a lot better. You know, I'd rather be sitting down there listening to the vanilla story, you know what I mean? I would much rather be down there listening to that. You know, and I remember that. I remember. Okay, are we done? Can we be done? Excuse me? Can a person that's working in an Alcoholics Anonymous program... Narcotics Anonymous was borrowed from Alcoholics Anonymous was grateful and gracious enough to allow Narcotics Anonymous the baseline. You know, because if it was the other way around, if Narcotics Anonymous came first and the drunks were to ask Narcotics Anonymous, hey, can, it would be like, no. No. That's where I wouldn't see a problem with it, but... You know, that's a God shot. You know what I mean? I guess I blurted it out a lot more than I should have blurted it out. You know, but I got the goosebumps and I call them God bumps, you know? And, wow. Wow. I'm like, wow. Excuse me while I cry, I have a feeling. I even put makeup on. Whoa. I don't wear that. I don't wear this shit often enough to go buy some waterproof. You know, I just wanted you guys to think that I look nice tonight, you know. I covered up my tattoos, you know, once again, it's like that wanting to be liked thing, you know what I mean? I still go back to that, you know. You know, and I just want to be liked, and wow, man, what a God shot. What a God shot, you know. And, wow. That's a God shot. Can we be done now? Can you turn me off?
This is a far better question than I had for her, so thank you. Thank you, Andrea. Can we all give Andrea a round of applause, please?